going to walk through the indicative landscape plan, summarising the matters relevant to my assessment of ad use and positive effects for landscape, visual amenity and natural character. I provide a summary of my evidence and conclusions and comment on the outstanding matters, including natural character effects, the track conditions provided by council, and the photo simulation requested by the panel in minute two. By way of introduction, I've been involved in the project since 2019 and have carried out a number of visits to the site and the surrounding area, including to private properties at their request and with generosity from Glenn and Karen and others. A record of these visits is included in Appendix A to my appendix, that's the context photographs. My team and I were also responsible for developing the indicative landscape plan, which is on the screen here. The cross sections, which are Appendix C, and the draft plant palette in Appendix D. I've also been involved in several community engagement sessions in Bunnythorpe at school and our new lives over Zoom. So in terms of the first point in my summary this morning, I'm just proposing to use a pointer here to draw on a number of aspects related to the proposed project that are important in terms of landscape and visual effects and natural character effects. And the first area that I want to talk about is the freight hub. So by that I mean the area that's contained by the NIMT and the new perimeter road and its full extent from its connection to the old railway road right through to its connection with the, you know, both ends of the railway road that will be remaining. So the first thing that's very important in terms of landscape and visual and natural character effects is the layout. So there was a previous proposal, an alternative flipped or mirrored proposal, which has the larger buildings here located in this zone, so basically a mirror of this layout. And that was definitely not preferred in terms of landscape and visual adverse effects and the management thereof. And I note also it wasn't the preferred layout in terms of the noise specialist, so we were in cahoots in that regard. The second significant point is with regards to building setback. So this is a very large site, so sometimes it's a bit hard to sort of work out, but the setback here is over 100 metres to the what will be the relocated NIMT. The setback here from the perimeter road, excuse me, I've got to steady my hand, is 40 metres to the new perimeter road, and likewise from the last track in the marshalling yards, it's 40 metres to the container terminal. So these are very big distances and quite large building setbacks. What that means is that there's an ability to have quite significant planted setbacks. So along Sanxters Road there's at least 20 metres depth of planting over the relocated bun. It does vary and get broader at this end, and then it thins to about 17 metres at Robin's Line, and then at the end of the designation it's at least 5 metres in depth on the residential property side of the noise wall. The other is that here there is at least 30 metres of planting between the perimeter road and this internal access road, and at the corner of those buildings is at least 15 metres of planting. And in, as I've said, the minimum planting to any noise wall, vertical noise wall, I mean by that, is at least 5 metres, and that only occurs at the southern end of the designation extent. So that's the second point that's very important in terms of being able to integrate.
Can you just repeat that statement?
So the sort of depths of planting are very important in terms of being able to integrate this development into the rural and rural residential environment and its interface with Bunnythorpe. And there are two aspects of that. One is the setback or the planting to the edges of the buildings, and the other is how much planting, the minimum planting that there is to any vertical noise wall. So the minimum planting depth to any vertical noise wall is 5 metres in depth. Is 5 metres, yes. So overall, what that means in terms of planting is that there is, within the freight hub, which is that area contained by the NIMT and the road, there's some 22.8 hectares of planting. That doesn't include some areas of lawn that are integrated within the freight hub generally for the amenity of the people that are working there. The planting types in general across the site, as included in the appendix, are reference what would have been there historically. So that is with reference to ecological district guides. And you would have heard yesterday that the ecologist had the opportunity to review that appendix, and he hasn't flagged any issues in terms of species chosen. But the overall approach is for a large infrastructure development to be set within naturalised planting areas, reflective of what would have been there historically, which is River Plain. So River Plain being the emphasis on this lower area. River Terrace, which is in this elevated area here, and the opportunity to have wetland species combined with River Plain and River Terrace around the constructed waterways, including the naturalised channel, which is in the freight hub.
And you've categorised in your naturalised channel and wetland planting a sequence of upper bank, mid bank, and lower bank.
Yes. So there's been a lot of conversations with the stormwater engineer about the ability to create variation within that footprint, if you like, of the naturalised channel of different habitat and environments and types of plants within that. And you would have heard yesterday that would include also how the water moves that through that area in terms of riffles and pools and so forth.
Is there any material difference, just as a matter of interest, between the types of species you've identified in this ecological district compared to, say, Auckland? There's a lot of these species you see on riverbanks in Auckland too.
Well, as I said, what I have done is drawn from resources including Horizons, One Horizons, in terms of their recommendations for what people might use to in more revegetation type projects, not amenity gardens, so yeah. And restoration projects. So there will be, and I guess the point about eco-sourcing is also relevant, isn't it? So, I mean, you see kōwhai growing various places all around Aotearoa, but there will be some ecological, eco-sourcing relevance in terms of the species that are yep. appropriate here, or the genetic makeup of plants that are appropriate here.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
So the earthworks is another key element, and obviously there is a lot of that. set at 50 RL, so that was also a discussion that I've had with Mike about the benefits of different RLs, noting the constraints in terms of operation with regards to that RL, is that from a landscape perspective, it does allow for the project to be, the worst thing that would happen is that it would sit up on a high platform. So that 50 RL is really important in that it limits the batters, which extend to the west of the perimeter road, that both the fill and the cut batters are limited to no more than 2.5 metres in height. And they are able, in that designation, to be sloped gently so that they can be planted. So that means that we have scope to, at the edges, tie this development into the existing contours a lot more effectively than if we had a higher RL. I heard discussions yesterday about possibility of 0.5, 49.5, which would obviously, you know, settle it in even a bit more, but that may have other flow-on effects in terms, you know, so you'd need to sort of know the whole picture in terms of whether that was an overall advantage in terms of landscape or not. The other thing that's really important is the building location, but also building height. So there are, you know, high elements in the landscape, surrounding landscape, but not a lot of things over 10 metres, to be fair. You know, there's mature trees and there's the infrastructure pylons from the Woodfield family. Woodfield family has just talked about in proximity to their property. But these buildings here are proposed to be no more than 11 metres here and then 14 metres. So that stepping back is also quite important in terms of how you might integrate a development into an area. So the corollary, if you had the higher buildings closer to the road, that would be worse in terms of effects. Lighting poles. So through the assessment process, obviously, assess those as structures and in this layout that has been proposed. So I think that's quite important. So there are 20-metre poles, 20-metre poles within the freight hub and also some mounted lighting. And those in the recent review update that the lighting specialist spoke about yesterday, those poles were reduced in height from 22.8 to 20 metres in the update, and that's a positive in terms of landscape and visual effects. It is a matter that I have obviously flagged in my evidence to be something that needs to be a focus of detailed design to ensure the balance between both height and number of poles. And what that might do overall in terms of visual effects. But of course, the process in which they've worked through to ensure that relevant standards are met are relevant also to landscape in terms of sensory matters. I think just a couple of other things about the planting areas and the planting approach is that the objective here is not to mimic or recreate a rural landscape within the freight hub or within the designation. That I think would be a mistake, and that it would offer less opportunities to actually mitigate for the adverse effects of this development. So the proposal is overall for more than 50 hectares of planting, and that is to set, so there's 2.8 hectares within the freight hub and then areas outside of that, is to set this infrastructure within naturalised river plain, river terrace and wetland planting, not to create a faux farm. The other things that are important for me in terms of thinking about natural character is fish passage. So you've heard quite a bit about that yesterday, and where the noise mitigation goes. So there was a discussion yesterday that I just wanted to point out about possibility. I think one submitter had asked for the noise mitigation to be located on the other side of the perimeter road. I'm not sure what they were thinking in that regard, effects from their property are being the focus, of course, in their submission. But from an overall point of view, having the noise mitigation closest to the source, internalised within the site when it's effective, is preferred. And for example, if the noise wall was located on the other side of the perimeter road, you wouldn't get the benefit of the naturalised planting and in and around the stormwater ponds. So I think those are the main things about the freight hub that I wanted to focus on, and then I'll just refer back to Sangster Road, and we will of course look at the photo simulation in due course.
Yes, are you going to bring those up?
Yes, yeah. Yes. We could do that now. Yeah, so I think just in general terms before we do that, there's a number of things about Sangster's Road, and I think what's important to, there are definitely adverse effects to be managed here. There's no two ways about that, and it is an area where I've identified a keen interest on the potential for high visual amenity adverse effects for residential properties. But there's some things on offer here in terms of positive effects, and that is related to the planting, what the experience is along Te Araroa Trail currently, which is alongside a railway, you know, close proximity to a railway corridor with every exotic weed under the sun and ballast. And the way in which we've been able, I think the positives that come from relocating the NIMT, there's several layers to that, but it means that the existing fund can be built up, which is really important in order to be able to establish a growing media, so things will actually grow, because if you look at the existing fund, you think, well, that's not going to work. But there is varying levels of fill that are required, and the deepest is at that low point, opposite, at the bottom of the property, 363 Tutaki Road, where the culvert is. And that means that you can, in the photo simulation location, we'll look at it at the moment, there's 2.5 metres of fill required to form the bund above the existing. So that's a really good opportunity to create growing media. So then you can have planting along there. It means that we can limit the height of the noise, the vertical noise wall. So talking with Stephen and, talking with the noise specialist, and in terms of construction, I was very clear that having a noise mitigation wall higher than 3 metres would start to have really dominant adverse effects.
Yeah, and that was something I was interested in, whether the experimentation and this final design might actually drive that higher, and whether that needs a vertical limit in your view.
Yes, I think I've been pretty clear through the process that I expect that the vertical noise mitigation walls will typically be no more than 3 metres high, but there may be some situations where the adverse effects, there's no other alternative,
yeah.
And two, the adverse effects can be managed. So, for example, at the moment I understand that the noise mitigation walls, as it curves around into Bunnythorpe, away from residential properties and ties into the logical tie would be to the back of the substation, that little substation there. It may need to be up to 5 metres high, but in that situation, I don't see that to be a sort of a fatal flaw in that regard. So I think it is, if going through the detailed design process, we get to the point where we say, okay, well, in this area, you know, that'll be just a conversation with the, and I think there's conditions or relating to that in terms of making sure that visual amenity effects go hand in hand with that detailed design process.
Well, could you just take us through that when you go through the conditions to show how that's demonstrated? But did you notice that along the Sangster Road there was quite a lot of use of vegetation for protection at the frontages?
Yes, so there's varying, do you mean around the sort of curtilage of their properties?
And that's partially, I think, because the prevailing wind is the northwesterly. And so there's a sense in which there is already an element of enclosure.
Mm. Yes. And because, I mean, I've been to a number of properties, but not on those that are sort of close to Sangsters Road or this end here, which is probably my primary area of interest. And I did notice that, so my assessment has to be conservative in terms of saying, well, there's potential for high adverse effects. But when we come to detailed design process, it will be a matter of considering existing vegetation as well and how that might actually already enclose views for particular properties. So at this stage, I just need to say, you know, create that effects envelope, which I think then drives a mitigation response that's going to give me confidence about that level of effects, and then the detailed design process that will follow. So the other thing about that is for people on Sangsters Road and on the trail, I think that vegetated edge is going to have some advantages in terms of just a visual amenity edge to that experience, planted with a naturalised planting approach continued along there. And I think that this is a key matter to be discussed with the community in that area as to what might be appropriate, although we would want a consistent approach along there, not a sort of pick and mix. And certainly the approach recommends indigenous species rather than exotic species. That's one advantage, is just that setting to Te Aroro Trail. And the other is what that might do to that entry to Bunnythorpe. So you've got the road from Ashurst coming, through, and there's possibly a 5 metre noise wall in that location. So what can you do in terms of design expression possibilities in that area? And also we've looked at the potential for a lookout near that low point, near the culvert, where we've stepped the noise mitigation wall back and overlapped it. And in this section here, it's shown a dotted line. That is actually just an open security fence. So the path would at that point gently rise up onto the top of the embankment, and there would be an opportunity to view over the development. And there was at least one submission that said that was a very good idea. So, and I guess the other opportunity along here is that the City Council has aspirations with regards to the rural path, the connection between Fielding and Palmerston North. So this development, you know, in agreement with Palmerston North City Council, could, you know, be part of that offering or enabling part of that link or contributing to it. So there's 6.5 hectares of planting along that stretch, so it's not insurmountable. And I did have a question in the peer review about how you would do that, and I think my answer to that is, well, it's like we're in effect forming a new embankment as you would do for, say, a road, and we've got along there reasonable depths of fill that we need to bring in, and there would be a process obviously to remove the rail lines, the ballast and any contaminants, and then build that growing media. So I have confidence that can be achieved. Should we have a look at the photo simulation? So So Jacob, you'll need to put this, oh, we'll look at this first. So the location for the photo simulation is on the plan there, and it is on Sangsters Road at 11, number 11. So that's not, it's just to the south of Cleveley Line. So we need to put this PDF on 2-page display. Is that possible? Otherwise, we're going to have the photo chopped in half. So it reads as a, yeah, it reads as a 2-page spread. So do, if you have copies of that, we might not be able to do it on the screen, unfortunately. The 2-page display, you would need to do it through Adobe Acrobat. Yeah. So the reason why we do it on a 2-page spread is that it is trying to, as a photo simulation, it is trying to emulate your natural field of view and also a reading distance. So you will see at the bottom of the page there or in the notes, it talks about a reading distance of 400 millimetres. So what that means is that if you were to go out to site and hold this A3 piece of paper in a nice still sunny day, as it was when I went out there, then you would see that view from that viewpoint. It would roughly be what your eye would appreciate in that view and be of the same scale. And also the vertical field of view would be approximately the same, although it is, and we talk about this technically, a little bit narrower than what your natural vertical field of view would be. Yeah, so it's trying to simulate what the eye actually sees. So the second 2-page spread is page 8 and 9 is from the same location, and it is showing the bund, as I explained, which in this location has had to be built up to a height of 2.5 metres, but the railway reserve in that location is actually quite broad, so there's good scope or space to do that. And then we have, courtesy of Palmerston North City Council, planted to the edge of the mowing strip, on agreement, of course. What you can't see is that there will be a swale between the immediate planting and the foreground and the base of the bund to address runoff from that bund. And then we've shown a very simple finished concrete vertical wall of 3 metres in that location with panels. But as you are well aware from other projects, there's a lot of opportunities there to do other things with the wall. That is also, I think, a key matter to be discussed through the community liaison forum. So I didn't want to presume what that might be. My priority is that it is no more than 3 metres high and it has a quality of finish that contributes to the overall offering. So then, I mean, there's what we've shown there is 2 to 3 years. There's obviously some, and in the conditions, a requirement to specify what grades and plants and what sizes and spacing we would propose from day one. And that'll be a process of working out both what gives you, you know, day one impact and also what the balance of maintenance and growth over time. It's because it is, you know, we're talking over several kilometres. Sorry, Lisa, just a quick question for you in relation to that wall. In terms of the community liaison aspect to it and community involvement in influencing the final outcome there, would that be something that the landscape person that you would be taking responsibility for, or would it be a noise issue and responsibility taken in that regard primarily?
I think the cause structure will be specified by the noise specialist, you know, so that it does that job. But the design aspects would come through the landscape. But also I think the opportunity is in other projects to come through that relationship with Mana Whenua. So, I think, you know, in that regard, the approach or the decision to work with the highly naturalised or to really emphasise the species that would have been in this place historically, I see as part of that acknowledgement of Mana Whenua values of the area. So I'm very interested in other design aspects that would acknowledge that in the future, if appropriate. And I see what, you know, for example, there's a new pathway in Bunnythorpe, which has had some input from local iwi, for example. And then the second view, which is page 10 and 11, is showing with good maintenance and good mangoni stream landscape weather, what it would look over time established. So we're not suggesting that at that stage there wouldn't be some glimpses of the wall. And I think the ultimate height of those plants is something to discuss with the community, because there has been submissions on the extent, or the things that they value, which includes a sense of openness or ability to view sunsets in the work to the west of their properties. So having tall, mature height trees along that area may not be the best solution, as in providing too much enclosure, but the priority is obviously to, over time, have that wall generally screened, and you could do that with plants that reach 3 to 4 metres in height, so not...
not the totaras that you've got
here. Yes, so I'm just sort of indicating that totaras are reflective of that area, and they would have been there, but that may not be the solution that we end up with. It could be that it is things like Pittosporums, Manuka is the tallest trees in that area. The other thing I just wanted to point out is that we haven't done photo simulations in general for the proposal, because I didn't need them. I didn't feel that I need them in terms of assessing the effects. And two, we are not far enough down the track in terms of being able to provide a 3D model that we can use as a base for the photo simulations, but we were able to progress a simple model of the bun that we have certainty with those parameters of the wall being no higher than 3 metres and the top of the wall needing to be at 55 RL. So we had confidence that we could do that. But what is important to note is there's nothing beyond the wall to the west simulated in these views. Including in this view, just looking at the landscape plan distribution, the name. What I think, so this area is in this area here. So if looking in that direction, because we are facing slightly sort of north in that view, there isn't
I don't think the proposed lighting poles would be visible in any case beyond that wall in that view, but obviously if you had a viewpoint near Pars Road, they could be. The height of the wall and the height of the planting is likely to obscure quite significant element from Sanctus Road, elements of the maintenance building and other lighting poles in the distance. But because we don't have a 3D model, including of the terrain and all of the elements, the buildings and so forth, we haven't made that up, so to speak. So that it's an important point to note. I have then, as a result, gone along the road because, as we've heard a number of times, things go up and down along here, and set aside myself with regards to those properties there next to where that photograph is taken, that they're in a slightly elevated position compared to the road. So they're at sort of 52 or 53 RL. So
which one
just
are you referring to there? I thought they were all slightly below ground.
So there's sort of contours that go through here.
Yeah.
Nathan Place properties are mostly at 55.
Yeah, they would be.
Yes, and it does go up and down. The lowest along here that I noted is there's two commercial properties, but also a home associated with this. It's a firewood production, firewood business, and then this is farm gear. They are sitting at a lower RL, so 49 by my estimation. So I just in terms of simple, and this would be my first process in terms of looking at what are the actual effects for these properties in detailed design, is looking at the relative, the relative RLs between where their house sits, the floor height might be a metre above that, and then the eye height is 1.5 above that. So if you're at 49 RL, then your line of sight would be at 2.5 metres above that without going there, just as a desktop exercise. So that means that you would be looking at the planting, your line of sight would be looking at the planting. You wouldn't be looking over the wall because the top of the wall is at 55. However, you wouldn't, because of the distance between the properties and the wall, you wouldn't lose that sense of openness to the sky, and the top parts of your vertical field of view would not, because your top parts of your vertical field of view would not be obscured. But that's just the starting process, and I think it's important to acknowledge that it is, just desktop at that stage, and you need to go there, and you need to also take into account vegetation around the curtilages to satisfy yourself as to what the actual effects on the views would be. Any other questions about the Sanctus Road edge while we're there? No? Okay. So the other area that I wanted to just highlight is that beyond the perimeter road, which I see is where some of the real positive effects for the project also reside. But in terms of, first of all, managing adverse effects, I think it's really important to note that the perimeter road here is predominantly, in its relationship to Maple Street, is set. It does obviously need to come up and connect with these levels, but it's generally set at the base of a cut as it travels along this area. And that means that the potential visual amenity effects for Maple Street properties are reduced because it
will be located below their typical line of sight. And anything that we do in this area, and understanding there's competing demands here in terms of priorities for views to the west and to the Tararua, is anything that we do in this area with regards to revegetation, and that's not confirmed, and another key matter to be addressed with the community, would then assist with views of that road. Lighting along the perimeter road is at this stage just looking at the access point, so it's not, you know, a string of poles all the way along the road, which would be of a very different character from the roads that are in that area currently. I've talked about the batters being reduced in height. We have a shared path, so this is a key benefit. A shared path along the edge of the perimeter road through from one end to the other, so offering the potential for people to get to work in a different manner. We also have the potential for an off-road recreation track that will have a relationship with the stormwater ponds, and then link back and have a loop with this stormwater pond, and I think that's also a key benefit when in the Mangaroni stream environs there's currently no public access to any waterways in this area at the moment. The noise mitigation approach here, and understanding the concerns about the bund and the views, and that's another reason why I've also indicated that this area is a key area of interest for me in terms of potential high adverse visual immunity effects. But in terms of fitting into the landscape, the earth bund in that location is preferred from my perspective, rather than a vertical noise wall. And it could be just grassed. That wouldn't concern me in terms of adverse effects. So I think that, you know, in terms of how do we make sure that this development fits into the existing environment, that's important. The other thing that's important is the way in which I have assessed these stormwater ponds and the way that they're directly connected to the Mangaroni stream and the relationship perceptually with the naturalised channel, which is actually picking up, so it is a stream diversion of sorts, and how that can be designed to have natural meanders, and all of those being included in large areas of naturalised planting. So the planting around the watercourses and the naturalised channel within, including the naturalised channel within the site, totals over 12 hectares of planting, so it's quite substantial. These stormwater ponds are very large, so my colleague noted that they are, you know, the size of Palmerston North City Square. they're not small stormwater ponds, and a key factor for me in conversations with Mr. Leahy is, can we naturalise these? They're not to be sausages, they are to look and feel like, over time with establishment of planting, as if perhaps they have already been there. So I think the benefits and disbenefits of the plan with these sort of hard edges, in reality what they will look like is for to be naturalised, constructed stormwater ponds. I have mentioned the area of interest here, so for the Maple Street properties, but also the Tenaio Road properties that are to be retained. So at this point here, the noise mitigation, because of the levels, swaps over. There's an overlap to ensure there's no bleed of noise, excuse me. But
Oh, that's all right, I'm good. but this is an area of interest for me here. So this property, there's a house in this site, which we don't have a submission for, I checked again last night, has a 3 metre noise wall that will have planting associated with it to the edge of the property, but is a 3 metre high wall within approximately 30 metres from their house. So that to me is definitely an area of interest. And there are obviously remaining properties here and also some properties that remain along this section that I have indicated are areas of interest. The final point about the overall plan is the robust conversations we've had about staging and the need to ensure that we can establish areas of planting as soon as possible. So you would have heard Mr. Skelton talk through what's possible in stage one is the works to the west. So that will mean that planting can be established early on, and then things will move to the east along Sangster's Road. So that's important to me in terms of, first of all, perhaps being able to integrate some of the benefits that I've talked about. The other is, I think, that I haven't mentioned, is just the way in which the combined planting and approach here could actually improve that sort of gateway experience to Bunnythorpe. One could say it is very degraded and of low quality currently, so that is an opportunity. I know there's discussions also about the level crossing, but I'll leave that to others. so that those positive effects that I've talked about will actually be realised earlier in the project than some of the operational matters for KiwiRail, and I think that's really important. So just in terms of my key conclusions, so I have assessed that there will be both positive and adverse effects resulting from the freight hub relating to natural landscape, urban landscape or built landscape, visual amenity and natural character. I have made this assessment considering that landscape is the cumulative expression of natural and human or built features, patterns and processes in a geographical area, including the physical components, perceptions and associations. Landscape components include the physical, natural science, or sensory, perceptual, and associative shared and recognised matters that result from landform, waterways, vegetation, existing buildings, road networks, heritage features, and past and present activities. Visual amenity is a component of landscape and relates to the natural or physical characteristics of an area, and that contribute to people's appreciation of its pleasantness. So this is just referencing the Act, RNA, in terms of the definition of amenity. Natural character results from the balance of physical, sensory and associative factors that have been influenced by nature and by human interventions relevant to context. And with reference to Section 6A, an important point is that I've assumed that natural character relates to the Mangaroni stream and its environs. I have assessed the existing environment for the site that includes streams and tributaries of low natural character, that the natural landscape characteristics have been shaped by the Mangaroni stream, including rolling landforms dissected by numerous tributaries and flood events, and that the urban landscape characteristics reflect the area's continuing role as a transport and infrastructure node, and which show the combined transition through early settlement and use by Māori, clearance for rail and productive farms to small rural holdings, and recent rural residential and industrial activities. So, and then my assessment of effects, with the mitigation proposed, including the substantial planting within the designation totalling over 50 hectares, and the preferred layout,
I have assessed the overall potential adverse landscape and visual effects of the proposal in a range from low to moderate for urban or built landscape, moderate to high for natural landscape, and the potential for high visual amenity adverse effects for some residential properties with close open views. This range of effects is not unexpected considering the nature and scale of this project and the context of the surrounding environment. I have assessed positive effects relating to natural character of the Mangorani stream and how this will be experienced by people following establishment of the mitigation planting and including improved public access to areas around the tributaries. The urban built landscape positive effects will result from the integration of improved walking and cycling facilities and the potential lookout on Te Araroa Trail. Visual amenity positive effects relate to the potential for the proposed planting to improve the gateway into Bunnythorpe and the way in which Te Araroa Trail will be retained to a planted edge rather than a weedy rail corridor. I have made recommendations to further mitigate the potential adverse landscape effects as detailed designers advance in order to further integrate the freight hub within the surrounding environment. This includes a landscape and design plan which has been incorporated into proposed conditions attached to Ms. Bell's evidence. I consider that the conditions as submitted with KiwiRail's planning evidence address my recommendations and bring a focus on collaboration with Mana Whenua and the community and a detailed design process that will prioritise the opportunities to further reduce potential adverse effects and realise additional positive effects for landscape, visual amenity and natural character. So the next matters that I want to discuss are just the key outstanding matters, so progress there. There were three, but we've already addressed one of those, which is the requested photo simulation. So in terms of effects on natural character, I have assessed the effects of the freight hub on natural character as moderate positive in this context. This was Whitby and the council offices, and I disagree on the approach to assessment of natural character. It is my opinion that the differences in assessment relate more to that approach rather than being of material substance. I have assessed the natural character of the streams impacted by the freight hub as low and have worked with the design team to provide for restoration measures within the Mangorani stream environs. That I have considered stream loss as highly modified natural features with limited habitat value and their associations with four mana whenua as part of my assessment of the effects on natural landscape. And I have assessed those effects as being moderate, high, adverse in that regard. Ms. Whitby has taken a more scientific approach, as stated in her report, so may have included these matters in her consideration of natural character. There are no matters of disagreement raised with respect to natural character in the tracked council conditions set, other than the recommendation for a maximisation of beneficial outcomes for natural character, which I'll address in below. So I then turn to the recommended conditions.
Yep, that's a good idea. So we'll come back at, because our morning tea arrives at 11, we'll come back at 11:15, but we've got time, so let's just stretch our legs. Yeah, it's the heat.
Yeah, okay.
That's why I want to appreciate it.
We could get some air.